Today's News.
Hello. Welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, fireworks. It's that time of year. Fireworks been back in the news stream lately as farmers, as is often the case, call for tighter restrictions on their use due to the detrimental effect they can have on animals, of course, scaring animals or even injuring them. It's not surprising they might not be very keen. I think that's an old problem, and if you scurry into the papers, well, there have been issues with fireworks for as long as they've been around. All equally, they perhaps used to be more widely accepted. If we go right back to 1879, the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, July the 12th, Derby Castle Pleasure Grounds. Fireworks, fireworks, fireworks. A grand firework gala will take place on Friday evening next, July the 18th, 1879, under the superintendence of Professor Coldwell of Leeds, the pyrotechnist to the company, when one of the grandest displays ever seen in the island will be given. Sounds promising, doesn't it? The hotel and beautiful ground will be illuminated by thousands of coloured lamps and chemical fires. Monster balloons will ascend during the day, and a grand illuminated balloon will ascend during the evening, and when at an immense altitude, it will burst with thousands of stars of every hue. Wouldn't mind seeing that. It doesn't sound particularly environmentally friendly. A grand promenade concert will also take place from 3 to 5pm when a choice selection of music will be played. Dancing as usual in the evening on the immense illuminated platform. It does sound like a spectacle, doesn't it? Derby Castle omnibuses to the gates every 10 minutes. The price of admission on this occasion after 6 o'clock for all the above, 1 shilling. It's worth a bit more then. The Isle of Man Times, Tuesday, July the 18th, 1893. This is where it's changed. This is summer and fireworks are plenty, it seems. Fireworks, fireworks tonight. The Scotch holidays. Anyone remember those? Notice to Scots and others. At the Falconcliffe nightly WF frame, Scotland's greatest comedian, the funniest comedian living at the Falconcliffe. Comedy and fireworks. What could possibly go wrong? Well, we see the slightly darker side. Maybe Peel City Guardian, Saturday, August the 31st, 1907. Fireworks at the Lifeboat Gala. Proceedings in the Magistrates' Court. 6 Peel young fellows, John Creben, William Edward Kermode, Frederick Kelly, Edward Crellin, William Clegg and Joseph Neame, were charged before Messrs T.C.S. Moore and C. Morrison J.P.'s on Saturday at the courthouse that they did on the 14th of August 1907 unlawfully throw and discharge lighted fireworks in a public place, to wit, the promenade in the town of Peel, to the danger of persons thereon. Well, it would be, wouldn't it? Lockman Edward Tier said he admitted for Crellin, Clegg and Neame. Mr. Hodgson said he appeared for Creben, Kermode and Kelly. These three, he said, had nothing to do with the other three and denied discharging any fireworks. Yes, oh, I bet you didn't. Creben, Kermode and Kelly were in court. P.C. Comish deposed that on August the 14th, he was on the promenade at night. About 11:30 or 12 o'clock, he was at the Albert Hotel and saw the defendants, who were outside the hall on the Shore Road, throw several fireworks in amongst the people. There were a lot of people standing outside the door, and they flung a good many of the fireworks in amongst the people and a good many into the hall door. Some of them got into a girl's hair, which was on fire, until they were knocked off. Sounds horrible. He, P.C. Comish, went out and spoke to those throwing, saying that if they did not cease throwing, they'd get into trouble. But it was the height of impudence that he got. The three defendants now present were in company with the others. They were all in the one party. Some of them were throwing and some were lighting. Mr. Moore, they were all enjoying the thing. Inspector Shimmin, did you see Kelly, Kermode and Creben throw fireworks? P.C. Comish, I did. Not one or two, but several, and the language that Creben used was disgraceful. Mr. Hodgson pointed out they were not charged with that. There must be a separate charge. And then it goes on for quite some time. Yes, whether drink had been taken, one suspects it might have been, who knows. But human nature doesn't seem to have changed that much when it comes to young boys and fireworks over the years, does it? We hear a similar story, fireworks in Shaw's Brow, in the Isle of Man Examiner of Friday, November the 24th, 1933. A squabble between neighbours on Guy Fawkes Night, picked on the wrong man. These two should have known better, but I think drink was involved as well. William Kane of Hardy's Cottages, Shaw's Brow, Douglas, was the defendant in what was described by his counsel as a very trivial case in the Magistrates' Court at Douglas last Saturday. Kane, accompanied by his wife, was about to enter his house on the evening of the 4th of November when some fireworks were thrown in his direction. He resented being a target for even harmless explosives. Can you have harmless explosives? And he made in the direction from whence the fireworks came, and a scuffle ensued between him and a young man whom he suspected of having thrown the fireworks. The result was that Cain was summoned by the young man, Thomas Reed, through his mother and next friend, Margaret Reed, on a charge of assault. Messrs J. Kelly, M.H.K. and A. Robertson, O.B.E. were on the bench, and Mr. G.D.W. Ashton appeared for the complainant, while Cain was represented by Mr. J.H.L. Cowan. Complainant said he lived at Hardy's Cottage at Shawbrow, and on the night of the 4th inst, he arrived home from work around 9:55 p.m. His mother had not been well, and after going upstairs to see how she was, he came down for his supper. While he was eating his supper, he heard fireworks going off outside. After supper, he went to the front door to see if his sister had arrived home, and he saw defendant and his wife. Defendant said, "You're playing yourself, aren't you?" Whatever that means. The witness understood him to be referring to the fireworks, and he said he had not been setting them off. Cain made some abusive remarks, and witness shut the door and went into the house. A few minutes later, more fireworks sounded, and the next moment the door was banged open. Witness went to see what was the matter, and he met Cain, who struck him 3 times. He then got Cain into the street, and as a result of the blows he received, he had a slight cut over the eye and a bruise on the ear. There was a lot of trouble ejecting Cain, for he wanted to come back and fight. Several young men and Mrs. Cain had to assist in getting him out. In answer to Mr. Kelly, witness said that Cain wasn't drunk, but he was not too sober. Witness had given no provocation for the assault, and he had not set any fireworks off. Take the drink out of that one, and I think all would have been well. The Alamann Examiner, Friday, November the 1st. It's a bit close to bonfire night, isn't it? 1935. Fireworks, a large selection of fireworks, including, now do you remember many of these? Skyrockets, serpents, crashes, little demons, squibs, diabolo wheels, Catherine wheels perhaps later on, fire tops, flash bombs, hoppity hops, I think there were flip-flops when I was a kid, jewel fountains, robots, rotals, whirlers, sparklers, etc. So many of those now banned altogether. Examiner shop, printer station, librarians, booksellers, tobacconists, Bayview Road, Port St. Mary. Yes, a lot of those. No longer available, I'm afraid, perhaps for the best. But I do miss them. Fireworks for all, says the Ramsey Courier of Friday, August the 31st, 1951. There was some excitement at Castletown last night when, in connection with the fireworks display, a box of these became accidentally ignited, and rockets, crackers, bangers, and all the rest of them went whizzing over the heads of the public, who beat a hasty retreat. I'm not surprised. It sounds like it could have been very dangerous, but treated with a degree of levity, perhaps. A fireworks warning, shopkeepers must have licences, we read of in the Mona's Herald of Tuesday, September the 29th, 1953. A prosecution to draw the attention of shopkeepers to the fact that if they sell fireworks, they must have a dangerous goods licence, was brought before the High Bailiff at Castletown. William Worrell of Malou Street in Castletown was fined £2 for storing fireworks without having such a licence. And Inspector R.D. Quine stated the case had been brought as a warning that licences were necessary. Offenders were liable to a fine of £100. That's a hefty fine in 1953, isn't it? Under the title Correspondence in the Mona's Herald of October the 9th, 1956, 3 years later, fireworks, we read, the detonations of these pests, brackets fireworks, in the streets of Douglas appear to be on a smaller scale than at this time last year, although there seems to be a great deal still to be done to stamp out this menace. This was the beginning of October, or 9th of October, not November, of course. Speaking to a tank officer who served through the North African campaign in the last war, he said, "When I hear the sudden explosion of a firework, my nerves go all haywire. It's hours before I can bring them under control." Understandably, perhaps. "Multiplying this case by hundreds, I feel there is sufficient reason to organise united action and to make an approach to the governor. If some of the culprits are not speedily brought into court and fined the maximum amount of £5, as laid down by the law prohibiting the exploding of fireworks within 20 yards of a public thoroughfare." And it's gone quite a bit from there by now, hasn't it? And finally, the Birch and fireworks. Boys birched for firework theft. "Not one bright spot in the story," says a magistrate. This is the Mona's Herald of Tuesday, November the 12th, 1957. Two boys aged 14 and 12 who were chased by a police officer after stealing fireworks from a shop in Tymal Street, Douglas, were ordered 4 strokes of the birch each. when they appeared before the Douglas Juvenile Magistrates on Saturday. You'll have your own opinion on the Birch, no doubt. The boys, both of whom had previous records of convictions for theft, admitted the charge. Mr. Peter Hislop, chairman of the bench, said they must be made to realise what would happen if conduct of this kind continued. Constable W.F. Cowell said that at about 7:55 p.m. on November the 1st, while in Westmoreland Road, Douglas, he saw two boys run out of a shop in Timwell Street. They went up a back lane. He followed and stopped them in Allen Street. They were carrying a quantity of fireworks, which they stated they'd bought in Strand Street. Both gave false names and addresses. Later at Douglas Police Station, in the presence of their parents, the boys admitted stealing the fireworks, valued at £2, 4 shillings and tuppence. They first bought one penny fireworks and then went back to the shop to steal the others. Chief Inspector T.A. Kringle, prosecuting, read a list of previous convictions for theft against both boys and said the elder boy was still on probation following his last appearance in court. After a short retirement, the bench announced that both defendants would receive 4 strokes of the birch, and Mr. Peter Hislop, chairman, said they failed to see one bright spot in the story that had been unfolded to them. The boys had brought to court 2 despairing mothers who had already been through considerable anguish of mind. Up to now, it was the parents who'd paid for the boys' misdoings, and they hoped this punishment would help to remind the defendants that they must not do wrong. Well, the birch, it was there for a long time, wasn't it? I dare say some people would like to see it back. Others think it is totally barbaric, should never see the light of day again. I'll leave that thought with you. Suffice to say, fireworks, perhaps not what they were. Certainly bonfire night, not what it was even when I was young, let alone going back to the 19th century. Suffice to say, of course, fireworks are old news. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.